Let me tell you a fun fact. Within the last two centuries, more than 90% of the world's millionaires have been created by investing in real estate. But if done incorrectly, without the right knowledge, required skills, or partners, it can also create a ton of problems and a lot of sleepless nights. You feel like sometimes there are way too many gurus out there trying to sell you on a weekend course, or just too much noise to cut right to the facts? Yup. We did too, and this is why we started this podcast. Our goal is to provide real estate investors, entrepreneurs, and enthusiasts with all of the most recent knowledge, secrets, tips, tricks, and tactics so that you can grow your own portfolios, increase your returns, net worth, and most importantly, create generational wealth for you and your loved ones. Remember, this is your real estate career. Information is your sword and shield. So eat hearty, prepare for battle, and grind your way to victory. My name is Tejas Gosai. I'm joined by my partner, Jeremy Moyer, and we welcome you to the Real Estate Investor MBA podcast. All right. What an awesome interview. Probably one of the better ones we've had in a while. They're super motivational. I love the religious aspect.
Yeah, it was tremendous. So we had Steve Lloyd and Carrie Fakes on with Stone Bay Holdings, and we touched on a lot of different topics. And you know, they kind of beat me to a lot of the questions that I was going to ask, and it was going down the right path of what to cover, and just, you know, mindset and company culture, and you know, sometimes that stuff can just seem like so visceral and, like, you know, it's kind of like woo-woo type of thing, but like it is really important, and they go into the details of why it's been important for them and how they've been able to raise a ton of capital and leapfrog success. I mean, it seemed like just recently. Yeah,
the devil's in the details, and they are a great example. Like, we had the folks from London on.
Yes.
And you know, they're doing real estate in America from London. It was a COVID project, and they did, like, I can't remember, 20, $50 million deals or something.
Yeah. It was a couple hundred units that they did. Yeah.
Yeah. So these guys are a great example of just, you know, coming out of a lot of difficulty and using that to power through and just be smart. Like, they're just very good about the way they leverage their debt and, you know, made their pathways. And we, you know, we had Gene on, and he talks about building PPMs for specific properties for syndication. So, you know, a lot of these things are coming together pretty nicely.
Absolutely. And it, you know, as a listener, you kind of take these, every episode I see in my head as like a little building block, right? You take this building block with that building block, and you start to build. I know there's real estate, so it's, you know, you start to build something, you start to build a company success and track record. And that's really what it comes down to. Yeah,
definitely. We wish you guys the best. We hope you take this one really seriously. And we're close to the end, the last quarter of the year. So if you've been listening for the past year and a half, get into it, make the goal, and create your real estate dream.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Welcome back. It's Real Estate Investor MBA, your favorite real estate podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tejas Gosai, and this is Jeremy Moyer.
Good morning.
And we love our program. Jeremy brings on the best guests, and we're now, I think, over 50 interviews, right?
Yeah, pretty close. Yep.
Yeah. So we always start with a thank you. Thank you to everybody who's made this show possible. We're on Facebook a lot, LinkedIn, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio. And we've had a few, I don't know, there's been like 10,000 folks in the past month that have listened to our podcast. So very unexpected. We never thought this would get this big. We love you. We thank you. And people have been chiming in on different topics. We do like to talk about tax a lot. So we're switching things up today. Jeremy, we're going to talk about business and some fundraising/capital.
Absolutely. Yep.
Awesome. You want to bring the guests in?
Absolutely. So for the interview today, we're excited to announce our guests, Kerry Fakes and Steve Lloyd. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Doing great. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Thanks for being here, guys.
So just to give some of their bio, so Kerry is an entrepreneur, real estate investor, and chief operating officer and founder of Snow Bay Holdings since 2013. With extensive experience in building companies from the ground up, she owns and operates a $225 million real estate portfolio, which she oversees the operations. She's partnered on the purchase of a $27.5 million 558-unit apartment in Georgia that sold a little over a year later for $41 million. And her most recent accomplishment was partnering on a $75 million apartment complex in the same area. She's passionate about helping others and achieving their dreams and building their businesses. So Steve Lloyd is the founder of Stone Bay Holdings, an expert at raising capital with over $175 million in real estate and has raised over $200 million in private capital. Steve lives in Sarasota, Florida, where he owns multiple vacation rentals on Siesta Key and spends his free time mentoring entrepreneurs and investors with a passion for helping others live their best lives. So Kerry and Steve, thanks again for your time this morning to talk.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So before we, you know, jump into some of the main areas that we want to cover today, can you just tell us a little bit more about how you guys got started in real estate?
Go ahead, Kerry.
You go first, buddy. Go.
Oh, so I was, I actually owned a pizza shop. I started working at a pizza shop when I was 10. I bought it when I was 20. I was actually a union truck driver. Kind of weird, right? Never went to college. I actually failed out after the I think I made it to the second semester. I was in anatomy and physiology, and I was sitting there going, man, why does it, I got to know why that nerve goes from your ear to your toe. And I'm like, I called my parents. I said, I'm coming home. And they're like, no, you're not. And I'm like, yes, I am. So I went back and I bought the pizza shop and then became a union truck driver. And then about 13 years after that, about 2004, Dave Van Horn, who owns PPR, which I was co-founder of that when they first started, Dave took me to my first real estate meeting in Delaware, about 13 people sitting around a table going, real estate's amazing. It's so easy. We all just make so much money. You just, everyone needs to do this. So I literally went home. I sold my pizza shop. I was having a house built. When I closed on the house, I quit the union paper job. And then I started buying your typical row homes. And then that was at that time, that was the downfall 13 or 14 years ago. So that was actually a blessing for me, maybe not for a lot of people, but we couldn't go to the banks to borrow money anymore. They were all in default. We had to, you know, I had to start to do our rehabs. I needed to learn how to, I started using individuals. I knew people that you were using their credit cards to purchase a home and then they would use another credit card. But then I started to just my first loan, when I started raising capital was $35,000. Then it was $100,000, and I did it just like a bank would do it with individual people. And then I became proficient in self-directed IRA. So that's kind of how I started.
That's awesome. I love it. You got to throw the pizza in there.
Yeah.
You know what? Looking at your track record and everything, you must have been very successful for pizza company.
Well, pizza people laugh. I've raised probably $250 million or whatever. And I have I've had one or two investors go, so where did you go to college? And I always go, well, I failed out. They're like, you failed out? How did you get to where you are? You failed out of college? I'm like, yeah, I mean, that shit just wasn't for me. I was ready to start making money. And it was really the real estate meetings, the things they don't teach you in college, the self-directed IRAs, you know, learning how to do short sales and buying charged off second mortgages and doing syndications and these amazing things that you just don't learn in college. You know, 32 years ago, they definitely weren't teaching this stuff. They might have a program now, but you know, my education came from the RIAs and the meetings. And so it is kind of funny when I go, you know, I was a union truck driver and I made pizzas mm-hmm. for a living, but the story is actually pretty cool.
Definitely. Tremendous, tremendous background. Love it. Kerry, how about you?
Similar thing. I think what you're going to learn about the two of us today is that a lot of the challenges and adversities we faced in our lives is what pushed us to pivot and turn and go somewhere different. For me, I was didn't go to college either, and wanted to, but financial situations kept me from being able to do that. I was going to school at night and working my way up in banking operations. And again, just, you know, hitting a wall here turned me in a different direction, turned me in a different direction. And I was working my way up the ranks in operations, and got pregnant with my first child. Still kept working, you know, kept going up the ladder there. And the first recession of 1990 of my adult life hit, and was never a plan to, was always a plan of ours to be home and raise children. And life kind of threw us a different curve. So I was doing well in my job. So I kept going. And my husband and I started our own construction business at the same time. We had our first child, our daughter, and I kept working, faced the challenges and pitfalls of that. It was never something I wanted to do. I wanted to be home with my children. And, you know, God just provides things in a different way. He gave us the opportunity for a really great job for me while we were building our company. And a couple more children came along the road, and I had to make that decision of a great career. I had a great career, pregnant with my third child, and it was like my heart was pulling, oh, I really want to be at home. So we burned the burned the boat, and I quit my job, and it was really challenging. But you know what? You learn so much through those tough situations and trying to make ends meet for a period of time there. We kept fighting through it. And next thing you know, our business was doing really well. We were doing really great high-end renovations. We started doing flipping ourselves. And, you know, we kind of hit our stride going. And then the recession of 08 hit, pulled us crashing back in a different direction. So Steve and I met. I was back in the workforce. We met, and we started our property management company. And from there, we developed Stone Bay Holdings. And so, you know, adversity, so many people, it's probably the biggest thing I say is that challenges and adversity can be the biggest blessing to you when you see it that way. And it can shift you in a direction you would have never gone down if it hadn't been for that challenge.
Thank you for that. That was awesome. We need to hear things like that. There's so many people who talk to us who are in a position where they need to take a leap of faith. A lot of people, probably like 50% of the people that listen to our program are like, I really want to do real estate forever. I'm scared. And then, you know, they need to hear from people like you. Sorry, Steve, what were you saying?
No, I was just to give a little bit bounce off of Carrie, you know, adversity, right? I think Carrie and I are pretty, you know, we've mended together very well. And it's kind of weird today, you know, if you would have talked to me about if I had a problem on my life in my 20s and early 30s, I'd be freaking out, right? Who caused this problem? Who did this? Why? How do we get here? And I'm telling you, my mind is so trained today that if I have a problem, a situation, or I feel like something's not going right, it's not going right for a reason. And you didn't do something right to get in that situation. And then you figure out what to do different the next time. So when Carrie and I have the trials and tribulations in our companies, and when we're going through properties and one night might not be going well, or we're in a relationship with somebody, we just take a look back and go, this isn't good. We don't really get mad. This isn't good. So now let's just adapt and change and make it better. So I always say, and if you're an entrepreneur, you either adapt over the next 30 years or you die. There's only two choices there. You adapt or die. So the guys that go out of the business in business, they didn't learn how to adapt. And Carrie, you know, it seems like every 3 years we have to adapt a little bit because most things run its course.
I was before you guys went into the trials and tribulations topic, my question was really close to going down that road. So I love that. I might not even have to ask any questions in this interview. But I love where you guys went with that. But to kind of piggyback on what you just said, Steve, or maybe to ask a question, the follow-up there is, did that come natural to you guys, like early on, that mindset approach to adapt or die? Or was it, did you kind of stumble upon it? Or like, how does one, I guess maybe the question is, for someone listening, how does one, if that's not natural, how do you, yeah, curate it. Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it was natural. Mm-hmm. When you're an A personality freak like I am, it's hard to stay calm. Right. Mm-hmm. But look, when you go back, when you really hear our story, when you go back 10 years ago and I look back at my life, you know, let's just go back 10 years ago. I had someone, a partner, that I didn't think that was so good. We'll leave it at that. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening to me. I just can't believe this partner's doing this to me. And it put me like $2.5 million in debt. But what came out of that? Carrie. Carrie's my rock. She's the best partner anybody in the world could ever ask for, right? You
love
know,
it.
She's my best friend. She's everything. So from that horrible situation, Carrie came out of it, right? So, you know, through another situation in my marriage, it just didn't go well. And it was a situation where it just, I'm not even mad about it. It just wasn't to be. And I ended up in Siesta Key, Florida, and COVID hit. I ended up staying and never leaving here, never going back to Philadelphia and doing things I never even imagined I would be doing, living on an island. And then I just kept pushing myself. So I look at these horrible things, but you know, it's out of maturity too, right? And that's what I really try to get to the younger investor to go, look, this is a process. It's a journey. You create wealth over time. The people that try to create wealth in a year, it's just like winning the lottery. You might create wealth in a year. You think you're going to do it 10 or 15 more times. Oh, this was easy, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to do it 20 more times. No. This is a wealth building game over time. It's kind of like the Warren Buffett of real estate, right? He is the Warren Buffett is the stock guy. We are the Warren Buffett of real estate. It's slow, meticulous. You know, my first deal was 60. You know, we closed on a $77 million deal and we're closing on a $44 million deal. But there was a whole learning process in between that $60,000 deal and like 9 cases of Advil, right? to get to where we are. But you just got to adapt. So it didn't come right away.
Well, here, I love where this is going, but I got to ask some specifically real estate questions here. So, you know, investment fund focused on a variety of undervalued real estate opportunities for reperforming, non-performing mortgage notes, apartment buildings. Where are you guys at? Where do you look for properties? Can we get into, you know, how you've turned this adversity into success in real estate?
You want me to go, Carrie? You want to go?
Sure. Well, I'll just say, and then you take it, Steve, is that it's about relationship building. At the core of what Stone Bay Holdings does is build and curate relationships. So it started with relationships with our investors, right? So we treat them differently than a lot of funds do. We treat them like their family. Every last person that's in our, that invests with Stone Bay Holdings, we would have pre-COVID, we would have a Christmas party where everybody was invited. We want them to all know each other. We're not like, oh, don't intermingle, don't talk, don't find out what other investments you have. No, that is not our strategy, our philosophy at all. And, you know, Steve Lloyd is available pretty much 24/7. And it's funny, a few investors have tested him on that and called him at 5 a.m. in the morning or something like that, just to make sure he's really ready and available and ready to take their call. So it starts with great relationships. And, from there, you build relationships with strategic business partners, which is, again, the core foundation for me. It's about relationships and then how they develop from there.
So I want to, we'll just describe that what we do really well and how we got to where we are. We're not the normal people that raise capital and go look for our own individual assets. So if you go back 11 years ago when we started Stone Bay, Dave Van Horn, I used to own PPR with him and they had actually bought me out. And 3 months later, he said, hey, you know, we need you. He called me and said, hey, Steve, I need you to help us raise capital. And I said, okay, what's your idea? He goes, well, we're buying charged off second mortgages and we got to buy pools of $3 and $4 million at a time. So Dave was like, you know, I need you to raise $4 million. And I was like, all right, well, how's that look? Raise $4 million. They took down the notes. And how they paid us back was when they got the notes reperforming after they did the workouts, we bought the reperforming notes back, right? So that's when the light went off, right? I was like, oh my gosh, we gave Dave $4 million. He went and bought the note. He did all the work. They did all the workouts. And how they paid they put a value, they had to be at least a 20% return. And they gave us a warranty on the note. If they went bad within the first 5 years, they would buy that note back. So I'm like, Curry, oh my gosh, Stone Bay was created. So what we did is we found two more note guys that we trusted. And we said, hey, look, you guys aren't good at raising capital. You guys go find the notes. We'll give you the money. You do the workouts. And we don't care. We either lend you money at 16%. We will either 50-50 partner on you, or you can pay us back in notes. So we ended up owning millions of dollars worth of notes. We ended up parting on $1 million worth of notes. And that was our first pillar. And then we found about just 10 people. We don't advertise. We found about 10 people to create our own hard money lending company out of Stone Bay, because there's three pillars in Stone Bay. So we found 10 guys. I said, guys, stop trying to find your rehab money. We'll make a real easy process for you. You call, you want 500 grand. I'll give you 500 grand. We'll just take the note, the mortgage deed in lieu, confession of judgment, personal guarantees, and name it on the insurance policy. So we got 10 guys that we're lending money to, right? And that we knew, and we didn't have to lend to 100 people, right? Because the more you lend to, the percentage of something going bad. And then we actually had one apartment building guy came to us. He could still raise capital, but he could only do $8 million deals. So we did a deal with him. We put up the capital. And then I'm like, all right, we need another apartment building guy. So all these people, we have two guys that go look for apartment buildings. And then we put up, we raised the capital with them. We got our private lending down. And then we have our guys that go and buy notes. So we're just capital raisers. And really, we're one big ass accounting firm. Care how many, K-1s are you doing right now? How many LLCs are you filing tax returns on? It's over 30. Right. But it's kind of weird. We're a massive real estate company, but this is how we scaled, right? You know, Chip just came to us with a $44 million deal, and a guy named Brian, we just closed on a $77 million deal. So that's how we progressed and grew without having to find individual assets, which really slowed us down, trying to raise money, trying to do the accounting, and then trying to find the property. So we have a niche, which is really, really cool.
Awesome.
Well, yeah. The cap of that is we focus on what we do best. What do we do? What are you hearing? We do best. We raise capital. We build relationships and we raise capital and deploy it. So many people in real estate are doing every little step of the process, aren't they? And what they're not good at, there is a challenge for them. So the people that we've partnered with know what their strengths are. They know what our strengths are. So it's a great win-win situation for everybody that we work with. And so your listeners need to do that same thing. They need to focus on what they do best and find a partner, you know, a strategic partner or whoever else, but find somebody that fills what they're not so great at doing. And when you focus on what you do best, you really can catapult and go to places you didn't even think you could go to.
Yeah. Let me give you another idea for your listeners. As an entrepreneur and an A personality, which most of the guys in the beginning, the first 5 or 8 years, they never want to give up equity, right? They never want to they want to own 20 deals and they want to own all the equity, right? They never want to give it up. And I'm telling you, that's a massive mistake, because when we were building, we own a lot of student housing at Temple, we did. And I got to my third or fourth property and we bought a guy named Steven. And I couldn't get any more loans in my name because they were $300,000 and $400,000 deals. And the bank's like, well, you got to your limit. You're going to have to go find another bank, because most people don't know you have caps on what you can take from a one bank, right? It could be $4 million, it could be $5 million. But we were there. So what we did is I called Steve and I said, look, at that time we were doing the work. If I find these deals, will you sign on all the loans? Well, that took us from $3 million to $15 million to $18 million with this multimillionaire signing on the loans. We gave him 25% equity. So look, at that time, I owned $3 million worth of real estate, but when we went to 18, I still own $14 million worth of real estate. I gave up 25% of it. And if you look at the big syndications, this is where the immaturity plays for the young investor, right? Never wanting to give up equity. But if you see what we've done, we share equity with our investors. You know, when we're doing a big syndication, we give our investors 60% of the deal. And sometimes there's two other equity partners where we're only splitting up 13% of the deal, 40% of it. But when you get to be able to do 10 to 30 to 50 to 70 in our next deal, I can't see our next deal being under 125 million. Well, I only own 13% of that. Yeah, well, when I sell that baby, I'm making $10 million. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So don't be short-sighted to give up equity to get help to, because when you build a culture, you have to find the right people to fit in a team, right? You hear a team, but we use more of the world. We bring people in to create a culture with great people. And that's what I think a lot of entrepreneurs miss. A lot miss the boat.
Wow, you guys I agree 100% what both of you just said. We just covered a lot of topics right there. As you guys were talking earlier, the Gary Keller's book, The One Thing, popped in my head about find that one thing that you're good at and just focus there. So I love that you both touched upon that. And then I agree with you, Steve, about the equity sharing. You can't do everything yourself. You have to have a team atmosphere. So raising private capital, maybe just $1 million question listeners might be thinking is, how did you guys raise over $200 million worth of capital? Like, what were those conversations like? You know, how did you do things differently, do you think, than maybe others would approach that topic or those conversations? You touched the base upon the company culture, which I love that with the Christmas parties. And, you know, it's having, that's different than I think most companies go about doing that. But can you speak to that at all?
Well, look, I mean, where people fail at raising capital, they throw up all over the people and they go, I need your money. And I got an amazing deal. This is the best. You got to give me money. We're never going to make a mistake. Right? No. It's three things that people want to know when they invest with you. They want to know who they're investing with. They want to know about Carrie and I. They want to know our background, our education, how many deals we've done. Then they want to know what we're going to do with the money. What are we going to do with their money? What kind of return are we going to make them? How easy is the process? What type of deal is it? We're in the middle of a raise right now. I got to explain what we're doing. And then how are you going to get paid back? They're the three things that people want to know. They want to know about who they're lending money to, what you're going to do with the money, and then they want to know how they're going to get paid back. So there's simple steps, and it's a process. You know, the old no is today, but no is in 6 months from now, because I can't tell you how many investors I have where they said no to me. Perfect example. I asked a guy 9 years ago to get involved with me. He said, no way, you're too young. And then he just did $1 million check in one of our apartment buildings. And then he gave us access to another million. So there's a whole process to it, and people are watching. And, you know, keep your integrity. Do everything right. Do the right thing when no one's looking. And when you master that, then you get respect and people start following you. Kara, do you want to add to that, our raising capital?
Yeah, look, it's again about relationships. So like Steve just said, we've had some no's along the road. And I tell people all the time, no means no for right now, but it doesn't mean no forever. And that person that said no today is still watching you and seeing what you've got going on. And so you're always, people are always watching you. They're watching what you've got going on and what you're doing. And so don't get hung up on the no. You might get 100 no's before you get your first, you know, real investor. That's okay. Keep plugging away, keep going through it. And the other thing that I think is different about what we do is that our investors, and they know it, it gets back to that culture thing that we were talking about. Our investors know we value them as a person. And a lot of companies, people, when they're looking, they throw up all over the person, like Steve said, hey, I got the best deal, right? But they don't back it up with, I care about you. There were so many times in the early days that I can remember Steve, like, you know, he meets with you, right? And he's like, this person saved that money that they're investing, 100,000, whatever the dollar amount is, right? He knows, we know as a company, we breathe this into each of our employees. That person did the right thing for years usually. Our investors didn't just come into money, right? They worked hard over their lifetime to have those investable funds. So when they're giving it to us, they're like going, I need that money to pay for college. I need that money for my retirement. I need that money for something, right? That's why they wanted to grow. And that's important to us. And passing that on to our employees, that understanding how important that money is kind of the core foundation of it. And I can tell you, I've come across a lot of people that feel like, nah, you're a big boy investor and you know what you're getting involved in. And if the deal didn't go well, oh well, you're rich enough, you can take it to the chin. So that's not at all our philosophy. That's not at all how we look at things. And I really believe that transparency that shows in how we interact with our investors.
So what Carrie and I do is when we meet a new investor, and 99% of them are from referrals, right? That's the way to do it, I think. But I actually, if I get a new referral from an investor, I'm interviewing the investor rather than sometimes the investor interviewing me. So I'm going to ask them, where's this money coming from? IRA money? Is this regular money? What kind of returns are you looking for? We can't, expectations. We don't want to have this wrong expectations. I'm not going to be careful because we don't do general solicitation, but what kind of returns are you looking for? How long is the horizon? Do you know about self-directed IRAs? Is this for your kids' tuition? Is this for vacation? Is this for retirement? Is this for a second home? Because I need to know what their goals are, right? They need to know what our goals are, but I need to know what they're looking for. Because if we get into it and I take their money and a year later, we're not on the same page and they weren't looking, then I got to pay them their money back. And then it just goes awry. It doesn't really go well. But to go to the, even the intermediate investor, Carrie, remember the flip chart I used to have? I used to do all these meetings and I would go to their home or we'd go to breakfast. And then I would have this book, right? It was like 10 pages and it would first be Carrie and I bios and I would flip it. And I would say, this is the returns you're going to get. This is how it works. You're going to wire the money to the title company. You're going to get the note, the mortgage, confession of judgment, personal guarantees. You're going to be named on the insurance policy. This is what we're buying. This is how much money we need. This is how much the rehab is going to be. And then in 9 to 10 months, this is the bank we're going to go that already did 5 of these refis for us. And this is the banker's name who we use, right? It's just like when people go into the bank and they want a loan. Well, I go into the bank and I bring all my information with me. I bring my whole net worth. I bring all my bank accounts because what are they going to say to you? And the quicker you get that to them, it looks more professional, right? So that flip chart thing was it was awesome for us to walk people through, what the process for them was.
I got to jump in. I know a lot of our listeners want to know, and people are kind of intimidated about how do you take people's money, or how do people invest in your projects legally and soundly? Can you talk about your vehicles or how you, create an investment for a specific property, any of those items?
Carrie, we can touch on that lightly. So we have syndications. People can invest in the syndication that we have. And then when we do an apartment building, that's a separate syndication, but we don't do general solicitation. So we're really not allowed to say too much.
Sure. Well, I think he's not necessarily asking for people to invest with us. I think he's saying, I'm a real estate investor, what do I need to do? So if you're a real estate investor and you found a project and you're talking to an investor, you need to secure them like the bank does to the property. So what do you do when you're buying your personal residence, right? You go to Wells Fargo, right? The big bank, and they give you a note, they give you a mortgage, they're secured on the property, right? So in case you default, they can foreclose on it and get the property back. We do those same documents for investors, and that's how we got started many years ago, developing Temple. We would take an investor down there, show them. It was really cool in our heyday of developing Temple. We would be able to walk an investor through and show them, the property we were going to buy, what it looked like, take them to a project that we were midway through developing, the rehab, and then take them to a finished project that already had the tenants in there, you know, students in the property already, and we had a bank financing on it. So our investors had already been paid back. So we were able to show them the process. So one of your listeners today might not have any of that right now, right?
Definitely.
So what they've got to do is show somebody what their plan is. What is their vision? Here, Mr. Investor, Mrs. Investor, right? Yeah. This is the project I'm buying. This is what it looks like right now. This is what I estimate my rehab cost to be. Now, if you're a brand new person and you really don't have much of a track record, what I'm looking for, I want to know who your contractor is. And I want to make sure that contractor has, you know, the expertise and the experience to be able to facilitate and do that project, right? So you're going to your investor, look, I'm going to buy this thing for $100,000. I need $50,000 to rehab it. And, you know, I believe I'm going to be able to sell this for $250,000. Well, I'm not just taking what they say to me at, you know, its face value at that point in time. I'm going to do a little due diligence. I want to see the comp values on the project. I want to make sure that what they're telling me actually works. But if it does, then you also, like Steve said, you've got to show the investor how you're going to protect their money, right? Because too many people just take that money and it's not secured. So when you do those things, you give your private lender a note, a mortgage, and you go through the title company, they're wiring the money to the title company. That mortgage is being, you know, recorded at the courthouse. You get insurance so that if something happens to the property, they get, you know, the lender is the first one paid back. So you do all those things. You keep them informed along the process of what you're doing. Hey, we just took it down. Hey, we've done the demo here. And at any time, if your lender is local, invite them to come see the project along the process, right? If not, send them videos, send them pictures, communicate. Even if you're not all that you're not all great with technology and stuff like that, a phone call can go a long way in just explaining the process. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Lender, we're about to list the project, you know? Stuff like that is what you need to do. When you get more, when you start to do syndications and things like that, Stone Bay Holdings, the legal paperwork we do is a private placement memorandum. That's a conversation for, it's a lot of legal paperwork, but you would need to do something like that if you were had a lot of investors on a real estate in a fund.
Thank you for that. And I'll just plug in, we have a few other podcasts with some folks about that exact topic on PPMs per properties. But let me pull up your website real quick. Jeremy, you want to help with the intro?
Yeah. So Steve and Carrie, do you want to tell listeners how to get in touch with you if they wanted to follow up on anything you said or just follow you, talked about anything specific?
You know what? I'm going to say both Steve and I have books that we've been part of. And what we'll do is throw the audiobook out there for all the listeners. We'll send you the link for both of the books. I was in, Bringing Value, Solving Problems and Leaving a Legacy. And Steve was in Success Habits. Both are fantastic books that your leaders will get a lot of value out of. So I would encourage you to follow the link, go get those audiobooks, e-books, I guess they are. And my best place to reach me is Instagram and LinkedIn. I'd love to hear from you. And Steve, how's best to get a hold of you?
You can find me on Facebook, Steve Lloyd, Sarasota. You'll find me. I am me. You need any help, I'm always willing to help everybody.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's tremendous. And we'll post all that into the show notes.
As you can see, I'm not the technology person, right? I don't. I got all that stuff, but I have no idea. What's your handle, Lloyd? I'm like, I don't know my handle. Just go find it. I'm there somewhere.
There you go. Awesome. Wonderful. Carrie, Steve, thank you guys so much. This is Real Estate Investor MBA, your favorite real estate podcast. We always have the best guests. It's Jeremy's work that helps bring them on. But we love sharing topics. Please email, text, follow up. Both Jeremy and I are available anytime. So we love what we do. We love you guys. Steve, Carrie, thank you. Cheers.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.